Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
I'm Jane Lindholm. This is Vermont Edition. In late February, one guard and 21 inmates at Northern State Correctional Facility in Newport were diagnosed with COVID-19. Late yesterday, the Vermont Department of Corrections officially announced the results of a new round of testing conducted on March 1st, and the results are not good. There are now a total of 127 incarcerated individuals and 10 staff members who have tested positive for the virus. This is the largest outbreak at a prison in Vermont. In the press release, DOC Commissioner Jim Baker is quoted as saying, "Northern State is now being treated like a hospital." This news comes the same day the governor announced that correctional officers, but not inmates, will be given priority for the COVID-19 vaccine starting next week. Here to talk with us about the rights of people incarcerated by the state is Vermont's Defender General Matt Valerio. Matt Valerio, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
You know, the job of the Defender General is technically to make sure that the right to counsel is upheld, that everyone charged in the state of Vermont gets appropriate representation. Do you also think of yourself as having a role in advocating for the rights and treatment of people who are imprisoned by the state, as in this case?
Well, there is specific statutory authority that does put that obligation on the Defender General's office. We have a Prisoner's Rights Office that is a division of the Defender General's office, and specifically we're supposed to investigate and advocate for the rights of inmates and their relative to their conditions of confinement.
And so then in this case, you know, the Commissioner Baker said in the press release last night that Northern State Correctional Facility is being treated like a hospital. The facility is in lockdown. Inmates, whether they have tested positive or not, are not allowed to, you know, freely move around the facility. What do you think needs to happen right now, now that this outbreak is so large? It's about a third. There are 345 individuals incarcerated there today. And as we said, 127 of them have tested positive. That's more than a third. What do you think needs to happen right now?
Well, the treatment issues are really, as the commissioner indicated, that those folks have to be dealt with as though they're in a hospital setting. They have to be monitored regularly. They have to have their oxygen saturation rates monitored and keep an eye on their breathing and hydration and the like, as you would if you were being monitored in a hospital setting. And so the Department of Corrections is doing the right thing. And frankly, I'm surprised that it has taken this long for an outbreak like what we are seeing in Newport to have occurred.
Why? You know, the DOC, AHS, Governor Scott have all said that the procedures put in place in Vermont facilities have been the reason we have not had an outbreak of any scale like this, that we are not the same as Mississippi, that this wouldn't happen in Vermont. You're saying you're surprised it took so long.
Well, I looking at what has occurred in other states and to our inmates that we have down in Mississippi, most facilities have had significant outbreaks across the country where 80 to 100% of the people who are incarcerated and the individuals who work there have all become infected with COVID. So just statistically, it looked like it was inevitable to me that COVID would get into a facility at some point, and once it gets in, the likelihood of it spreading is almost inevitable. Vermont did a very good job, and the department did a very good job of locking down those facilities and doing contact tracing and the like for any individual who came in with symptoms. But as a matter of just over a period of time, it seemed that a outbreak like this was going to happen.
ACLU of Vermont put out a press release this morning quoting Executive Director James Lyall as saying, "The people in our prisons," this is a quote, "the people in our prisons are members of our families and our communities, and none of them were sentenced to suffer or die in a pandemic. It's past time for Governor Scott to start following the science and showing some basic humanity by prioritizing the vaccination and safe release of incarcerated Vermonters." Matt Valerio, do you agree?
Well, I don't think I would put it in the same terms as they did, but I do think we're at a point now, clearly with the availability of vaccines, either that are available right now or that are going to be coming online within the next couple of weeks. We are both, first of all, I think that the corrections officers should be mandatory that they be vaccinated. And secondly, the inmates should be offered the vaccine if they, upon entry to a facility. It seems like the only smart thing to do to make sure that the outbreaks don't continue.
So you do think that inmates should receive priority vaccination, that they should be, as soon as possible, offered the vaccine upon entry into a facility, or if they are already incarcerated, should be given access to the vaccine?
Given the current infection rate, I think, yes, that's what should happen.
You said you think it should be mandatory for correctional officers, for staff members who are working in these facilities, to get vaccinated. Do you see that as a legal option for the state to take, to mandate that those who work there must be vaccinated?
Well, I think that, they're the ones who are coming in and out of the facilities and are probably the most likely people who to bring the infection into the facilities. I don't know what it says in their collective bargaining agreement regarding this kind of thing, but I'm guessing that there are also screenings for tuberculosis and other types of diseases that occur in settings like this, and as a result, I don't see this as being much different.
But you wouldn't make it mandatory for incarcerated individuals to get the vaccine?
I think the difference there is that they aren't under contract with employment with the state, and as part of their job, it is to take care of these inmates. I don't know that you can force the inmates to take it, but I think that as an employee, you might be able to do that.
Speaking on Vermont Edition yesterday, Health Commissioner Dr. Mark Levine explained the rationale that the state is using for prioritizing the vaccination of correctional officers, who, as you mentioned, are the ones largely bringing COVID into Vermont's correctional facilities. Dr. Levine and other members of the administration have said that stopping the virus from coming in will keep inmates safe. But Dr. Levine also said on our show yesterday that visitation likely won't be allowed until the majority of inmates are vaccinated. And without the prioritization of inmates in the vaccine schedule for the state of Vermont, how long it will take for the majority of inmates to be vaccinated is really unclear. And in the meantime, for those who contract the virus, there are significant risks, obviously, to health and a lot of fear about what might happen if you get it. But even for those who don't have COVID-19, there's continued isolation, a lack of connection to programs that are not operating in person because of the pandemic, a lack of access to loved ones with no visitation allowed. That runs the risk of really severe mental health issues that we're seeing in the larger population as well, who have access to more connections and more ability to find ways to connect with other people. Do you think continuing to place inmates in lockdown, continuing not to vaccinate them, but also to continue to have no visitation and fewer programs, is unfair treatment of people who are wards of the state?
Well, definitely has downsides. One of the huge downsides of what DOC has done to keep COVID out of the facilities is a significant negative impact on the mental health of the inmates. Upon entry, they're isolated for 14 days. You're isolated if you show symptoms. You're isolated if you complain of symptoms. This, based on our work with the inmates, has obviously led to mental health problems. We are Prisoners' Rights Office, as is required by law, is investigating two suicide cases. One was an attempt and one was successful. And we think that both of those had a component of, the COVID isolation protocol being a potentially a contributing factor, and it doesn't always rise to the level of someone doing self-harm, but clearly it's a major problem, just as it is for people on the outside. And you know, the other thing about this is if you don't want to be isolated, and you know, the inmates refer to it as being, you know, put in the hole. If you don't want to be put in the hole because you're sick, then you're less likely to be forthcoming about your symptoms. And so the treatment or isolation that you need to have doesn't get there soon enough. So those are all of those things, and you went on for quite a bit there, are very legitimate concerns, and it's something we've been watching. And I've been having this discussion with Commissioner Baker for many months now, where the downside of the mental health impact can't be underestimated.
So what do you think should be done then, you know, in the both the short term and the medium term, and not just in Newport?
Well, the answers aren't completely clear, but the biggest thing is that you've got to make sure that the inmates who are coming in and or that are there that do have COVID are treated humanely and decently. And that means getting the type of care to keep them comfortable while they are suffering with the symptoms of COVID. As we know, most people are going to recover from it and do okay. But you've got to make sure that people who have lower saturation rates for oxygen are getting supplemental oxygen. You need to make sure that people who have below a certain level of oxygen are transported to local hospitals to make sure that they don't decompensate really quickly and die or get into a very difficult situation. You know, my sense is that once you get a infection rate like we see in Newport, that you're effectively going to end up with 100% infection rate in relative short order. And I talked about this when I spoke about Mississippi some number of months ago, and there was, you know, I think 80% of the people down there were at that time tested as being COVID positive, and ultimately it really was about 100%. And you know, once you get that kind of infection rate in a closed facility, pretty much everybody is going to be subject to having it. And so what you've got to do is treat and manage those symptoms and make sure that the people who need it are shipped out to local hospitals. You know, for those coming in, and that's about all you can do for the people who are inside and have caught the virus. For the people coming in, that's where vaccination is going to be the way to address it, to make sure that they aren't coming into a facility that is, you know, infected and just pick up on the infection.
Yeah. And so, you know, vaccination would address infection, but it seems like it might also address those questions of when visitation might be allowed and when certain programs might be allowed to resume, which also then have an impact on the entire population, whether they're infected or not.
Right. As with everything, I mean, you know, once we get enough vaccinations out there, we can hopefully get back to life as usual, and kids can go to school and college students can interact with each other. And, you know, it's been a very difficult time for everybody. But if you compound that with being involuntarily incarcerated, and a lot of the, you know, a couple hundred of these guys are pre-trial, so they haven't been convicted of anything yet. It is a you know, it's an extraordinarily stressful and difficult thing to have to deal with.
Well, as you mentioned, you know, there are certainly some people in Vermont prisons who have not yet had their trial. And there's a lot of talk around the country right now about cash bond and cash bail, whether that should be discontinued, and certainly some conversations ongoing about that in Vermont as well. And then there are also questions of people who have, you know, already exceeded the mandatory minimum sentence and can't leave because of various reasons, including housing, the inability to find adequate housing. Do you think the state needs to do more with decarceration, changing policies to right now have fewer people in our Vermont prisons who are susceptible to this kind of exposure?
I think in general, the answer to that is yes. But I will say that since this pandemic began, we've significantly reduced the number of people who are being held pre-trial. It used to be in the low 400s or around 400, and we're down around, I think it's 209 or something as of today. And The overall number of people who are being held is also down significantly. There are clearly people who are currently being held for lack of approved housing, which has been an issue ongoing for decades in the Department of Corrections. And, now is a good time, I think, to make some progress on that, because the benefits are huge fiscal wise to the state, and also to the individuals who are, being held past their minimum for lack of housing.
Matt Valerio, we don't often get a chance to talk with you. Before I let you go, is there anything else on your plate that you think Vermonters should be aware of that the Office of the Defender General is working on or that you want to advocate for?
No, I don't think so. The things that come up with our office are pretty mundane. I don't think that most of the state really understands what we do, but we have a multifaceted office that represents pretty much 85% of the people who are in criminal court, almost everybody who is in the child welfare justice system, and the abuse and neglect docket. There's an appellate division, and all of these are working regularly to try to make things better for people who get caught up in the criminal justice system.
Matthew Valerio is Vermont's Defender General. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.